Okay, welcome to this webinar. How do you deal with a situation when somebody's being defensive in the moment and they have a history of being defensive? So, as you can see, my name is David Lee. And just super quick backstory, I've been working in the area of communications for about 30 years now, with a special focus in the last 15 or 20 on how people in leadership positions can facilitate constructive conversations, especially in situations where it's around difficult issues, and it's so important to be able to make it safe for people with less power to speak up. So today we're going to use a particular case study as based on a situation that a manager brought up in a constructive conversations program I did a couple of years ago. And so just one other bit of back story or philosophy, this quote, which I love, the performance of our organizations depends on the quality of our conversations, really underlies what I believe and the work that I do in constructive conversations. I actually just had an article published that I'll send you a link to called "Is Relationship Friction Causing Operational Friction?" And you think about your own experience in the workplace, how when people don't get along, their personalities clash, there's some type of conflict, just how that affects how well an organization works, how well a team works. So it's super important for us to become as skilled as possible in dealing with difficult issues. So if you have a question, you see the little question box there. And also, if you want to speak, you can press that hand raise icon there. And I will be looking at the attendee list every now and then. I'll be collapsing the control panel so I can read the slides. And then when I don't need to, I'll be expanding it to see if there's any questions. So I'm just going to do a quick check just to make sure the sound is still good. If you could just type in. Actually, Kristen, if you wouldn't mind typing in again. Okay. Jennifer, thanks. Good. All right. So here we go. Okay. So, also, hopefully there'll be no guest appearances by Minnie, the blind rescue dog I have, who, despite being blind, takes her guarding duties very seriously. So hopefully the UPS guy won't show up or somebody won't walk by. So here's the situation we're going to talk about. So I was doing a program at a hospital, and I asked, you know, what's a situation that you find especially challenging? And this clinical nurse leader raised her hand and she said, I'm responsible for investigating occurrences. There's a word before it that I'm forgetting now. But basically, it's any type of incident that is a safety hazard. So if a nurse accidentally sticks herself with a hypodermic needle instead of the patient, or somebody hurts their back trying to lift a patient. And so this clinical nurse leader said there was this particular nurse that when she would go speak to the nurse to find out what happened, the nurse would always get really defensive and she would act like she was in trouble and maybe she was going to get fired. And the clinical nurse leader had tried to get the point across, you're not in trouble, I'm just trying to investigate this so it doesn't happen again. But no matter what she said, she continued to be met with defensiveness and antagonism by this nurse. And so I asked the group, how many of you can relate to that sort of situation? And just about every hand was raised. And when I've done past surveys for webinars and constructive conversations, how do you deal with defensiveness is always one of the most common challenges people identify. So we're going to deal with not just defensiveness in the moment, but the person has a history of defensiveness. So one of the things that I find helpful in terms of strategizing how to best deal with this situation is to get clear in my own head, what are the issues involved? So in this case, what's the problem here? What are the problems? And you will get these handouts, just like those of you who were in the last webinar, you'll get got those. So the clinical nurse leader, the problem is she needs to gather the critical information, and the nurse's defensiveness makes this process less effective. So it makes it hard for her to do her job and satisfy an important deliverable on her part. So let's say you're trying to coach somebody related to giving better customer service, or a physician in their patient care, or let's say you're dealing with somebody in like IT, and the way they approach internal customers is not great, and you're trying to get them to become more customer-centric, whatever it is, if they're really antagonistic and defensive in the face of even having a conversation, it's hard for you to do your job. Another issue is the fact that she's not able to get the important information that she needs has a serious negative effect on the organization and other people's lives. So these issues, these aspects of the problems of the problem, you want to factor into what you're going to say in the conversation. So what are some of the points the nurse leader might want to raise? Well, she wants to identify the ongoing pattern. And this is what I oftentimes refer to as naming the game. Actually, I'm going to back that up for a second. And so naming the game, there are a couple of different dynamics that fall under this category, in my opinion. This one is when it's an ongoing pattern. So you don't want to have yet another version of the same conversation that you've had multiple times before. So you don't want to be Bill Murray in Groundhog Day. Wake up each day, it's Groundhog Day again. You have the same exact experiences. So I bring this up because oftentimes people will simply talk about the latest incident of the pattern. And what needs to be addressed is that this has been an ongoing pattern, and despite our conversations, it hasn't been working or it hasn't changed. So she also wants to raise the point that it's really critical for her to get this information, and not to say in a patronizing way, but just, you know, as you like, so for instance, as you know, part of my requirement in this role is to investigate these occurrences and gather information. And so if I don't gather accurate or thorough information, I'm not doing my job. Another point that the nurse leader wants to raise is how important it is to her that they have open communication. So if you're talking with somebody who has a history of defensiveness, you want to, whether it's in the beginning or sometime later in the conversation, get the point across that it's really important to you that you and this person be able to talk freely about this issue. And a slightly more intense version of that same message. And when I say intense, I mean it's really focusing on the responsibility of the other person. So I would recommend to this nurse leader that she include, whether it's in her opening statement or sometimes later on in the conversation, it's really important for me to have team members who are coachable. And I think that's really an important message whenever you're working with somebody who gets defensive when you have these types of conversations, that you need them, they need to understand that that's part of a job requirement, is to be coachable. Now, here's the balancing part of this conversation. So it's not just, hey, here's what you need to do, but it's also, I want the nurse leader to communicate her desire to give feedback in a way that feels respectful to the nurse, i.e. in a way that works for the nurse. And so this will be sort of the help me, help you, help us part of the conversation. So she wants to communicate her desire to get feedback from the nurse on how to do that. How can I give you feedback in a way that works for you? And then last but not least is demonstrating through voice tone and through words that she's coming from a place of goodwill, that I want this to work, and not just from I'm in a position of power, I'm the head honcho here, you need to snap to. So before we go into how I recommended bringing up, I just want to see any questions or comments about any of those points or issues that need to be raised. So I'll wait about 30 seconds. So I'm looking. I continue. Oh, sounds good. Oh, okay, good. Oh, that's the sound. Back to the sound thing. I said the sound. Okay. Any questions, points you want to make? Going once, going twice. Okay. So I'm collapsing the control panel. It is now collapsed. Okay. So to make this happen, she wants to, I recommend to her to put the conversation in context. And one of the things, if you've ever been to one of my seminars, you might have heard me talk about the, you know, I went to the seminar opening. And I think it's such a great way to start implementing what you learned at a seminar, or in this case, in a webinar. And it also helps you bring up issues in a way that doesn't sound like it just came out of the blue. Like, what are you talking about? So I'll give you the webinar version. So you might say, Sally, I just attended a webinar on how to have constructive conversations around difficult issues. I wouldn't say I attended a webinar on how to deal with defensive people, for obvious reasons. So I went to this webinar on how to have constructive conversations around difficult issues. And I was thinking about, you know, situations that I would like the conversations to go better. And I thought about some of our conversations where I've tried to give you coaching feedback and it didn't seem like it was really well received, or maybe like it was really appreciated. And so I wanted to talk with you about that and get some of your thoughts about what we could do to make those conversations work better. So that's an example of putting the conversation in context. And so whenever you attend a webinar, a seminar, or read an article that speaks to an issue that you want to get, that you need to deal with, or something you want to be better at, you can use that as the sort of like the icebreaker. So this is where I mentioned the name the game before. So I want her to name the game and to bring up the fact that they've had multiple situations of this where the clinical nurse leader needs to bring it up and the person gets defensive. Want to express the goodwill and positive intent. Remember, I mentioned this last time. So you could be thinking about this for your conversation that you need to have. So even though I'm talking about the nurse, be thinking about who you want to practice this on. And actually, I would encourage you practice it on somebody easy. I would even like do sort of like a role play before you actually do it on the difficult person. And then you shift gears into involving the other person in the solution. And so that's where, if you've again been to, if you were at the last webinar or you've been to my seminars, you hear me talk about the declaration invitation. So the declaration is you declare, hey, here's what I want to talk about. The invitation is you invite them into a dialogue. So it's not a lecture, a monologue, a talking at them. So here's an example of how I can't remember, you know, because it was live, what I actually recommended to the clinical nurse leader, but here's an example of what I would recommend. So Jane, I went to a seminar yesterday on constructive conversations, and we were asked to think of conversations we had a hard time with and want to get better at. Okay, so you've set the stage. One of the ones I thought of was our conversations about adverse event occurrences. I feel bad that what I want to be a useful conversation, useful for you, me, and the hospital, ends up being uncomfortable for you and me. So you see, she's expressing the sense of goodwill and positive intent. Like, I want this to be a good thing. Obviously, it's not being that way. So even though I see them as simply feedback to minimize these occurrences, it seems like from your response that you feel like you're being reprimanded or that you're somehow in trouble. So you see with that, I just want to point out a few things. You notice I say, it seems like. I like to put those qualifiers in as opposed to saying, you looked defensive. You don't want to use defensive because, you know, it tends to trigger defensiveness. But so let's say you seemed really upset. Well, I'm qualifying it again. You were really upset when I brought it up. Even if it's true the person was upset, it seems like you're telling them what they're feeling. And for most people, that feels really intrusive and triggers defensiveness. So that's where I like to do the qualifier, it seems like. And then, let's see. And it seems like you feel like you're being reprimanded or that you're somehow in trouble. So there's an example of verbally demonstrating your empathy. You're communicating, I feel your pain, or I think I feel your pain. I think this is what I see going on. And you know, I don't want that for you. Okay. And then I'd like for us to find a way for me to share this feedback with you in a way that works for you. So you're communicating your positive intent. And then, do you know what I mean? So the invitation, do you know what I mean? Really simple, nothing fancy. It stops your monologue, if you will, and then invites them into a conversation. So let me ask you a question. So if you have a question or a comment for this so far, please type that in the question box. Also, if you have an answer to this question, why don't I simply say, instead of, do you know what I mean, why don't I recommend her saying, so what can we do to make this work better? Why don't I want to immediately launch into problem solving? So I'm looking for some answers. Let's see what we get here. Oh, here we go. Awesome. Let's say Cynthia, to confirm you're both on the same page. Awesome, Cynthia. You got it. Because if we, okay, here's another one and we'll get to you in a second. Ashley. Awesome. Ashley. Okay. Ashley, we want confirmation that she acknowledged this is an issue. Fantastic. You got it. Okay. All right. Jennifer, she may not think there's an issue. All right. Rockstar participants here. Super. Because if we launch into problem solving mode, but either they don't understand what we're saying, and I've had my share of those situations, or they disagree with our premise, we need to address that, the not understanding or the disagreement before we go on to problem solving, because they have no interest in problem solving if they're not on the same page. Let's see, Sherry, I think asking if she knows what you mean is encouraging dialogue. Absolutely. So it's a real simple way to get them engaged as soon as possible. And those of you who are on the last webinar, one of the things I talked about when we mapped out the declaration invitation, in the declaration, you want to use enough words to get your point across, but you don't want to belabor the point. So we want to cut to the chase and involve them ASAP. So fantastic. Thank you all that participated. So anything else that you noticed that you liked or you think should be changed in this example of how the clinical nurse leader might bring it up? So I'll do another 30 seconds. So I'm obviously trying to balance, give you some time to write, but not make it too long for in case people don't have anything. So I'll do another 5 seconds. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, don't say anything. Okay, so we're gonna move on. Now, obviously, there's more to the conversation than just how she opens it. So that's where follow-up questions to collaborate. So now you've got a dialogue going. So how can you foster collaboration? So asking, are there particular things I say or do that make it feel more like an interrogation or like you're being reprimanded? So in this situation, so this would be something I would recommend the clinical nurse leader do, because it's a combination of fact finding and giving feedback. And so the second one would be, can you give me an example of how you would like me to bring up an occurrence with you? So rather than just the person saying, well, I don't know, I'd just like you to do it in a more open-minded way. Like, okay, can you give me an example of what a more open-minded way might sound like? Because obviously what open-minded might be to them might not be the same thing to you. So let's say you're not doing an investigative conversation, it's more of a feedback conversation. You could just simply modify the first question to, are there particular ways that I give feedback that make it feel, that make it a drag for you? You could be just real simple like that, or make it unpleasant, or make it seem too heavy-handed, or whatever way you want to frame it. The key is to ask them for feedback. And if you read my blog article or blog post, one of the things that's so useful when you ask, like, help me do this better, help me do this in a way that works for you, it takes away that real unpleasant parent-child dynamic that most of us as adults don't particularly appreciate being part of, at least the child part, in the workplace. And so being given negative feedback or criticism in a way that feels like we're being scolded or talked down to is pretty darn unpleasant. And so when the person with more power makes it clear that we're a couple of adults here and I want to do a great job of giving you feedback just as much as I want you to do a great job doing your work, it makes obviously the person much more interested in being working with you. All right, let's Cynthia. I like that I went to the seminar approach, less threatening and shows humility. Awesome, you got it, Cynthia. And also, as a part of the show's humility, it's a great way to model, just as I want you to continue to learn and grow, the humility, it models, I know I just like everybody else, I need to learn and grow, and so I'm investing in my professional development. And also to what Cynthia was saying, it shows humility that I know I'm not perfect, and so I'm learning, I'm on my the learning path too. And so just that asking for feedback on how I can do it better is also another way of showing humility. Okay, so let's briefly address this. So it doesn't always work as we had hoped. What about if they don't offer you anything? Now what do you do? So let's say it's the giving feedback. I'm like, I don't know. I just don't like feedback. Or it's just hard to be criticized. I feel like a loser. Let's say, so they don't give you anything to work with. I know sometimes I have to think about things before I come up with an answer, so I'd like to ask you to be thinking about this and we can revisit it, because it's really important that we make these conversations work. So you see, I don't want to say, although I'm about to say, you don't want to let the person off the hook. But there's some real validity to that, because as I know you know from your own experience, people have varying levels of comfort with whether you call it confrontation or really direct conversation. And some of us, if you're an introvert like I am, you want some time to think over your answers. Whereas extroverts do really well thinking out loud, introverts need some time to think. And even if they aren't an introvert, because this sort of conversation can be anxiety producing, it might just take them some time to be able to think about what might work better. And so you'd follow that up with, if you could be thinking about how you would like me to bring this up and how you would like me to give you feedback, that would be great. And so you notice that if you can be thinking about, I do a lot of customer service training, and I call these softening phrases. And I love softening phrases because in customer service, they just add a more gracious, kindly touch to request versus, you know, somebody says, what's your phone number? Give me your address. So like the really bossy kind of approaches. And then if you're in a position of power, it again, it balances things out more. So it isn't just adult, it doesn't feel so much like adult child. So if you said, so I want you to be thinking about how you'd like me to do this more in a way that works for you. Or even worse, go away and think about how I could do this better. You know, so taking away, from not doing the kind of bossy approach. Okay, so we're doing great with time. Next steps, eagerly await the handouts. So I will get those to you. And also I just like I did with the last webinar, I will do the handouts as a Word document or PDF, so it's just more user friendly. Feel free to ask me questions. You'll have my info. I hope you apply the principles to your situation and get some feedback. And I would encourage you to run it by a colleague or friend that you respect. And I would be willing to do like 10 minutes, 10 or 15 minutes, if you want to run it by me, and we'll do like super laser coaching. But I recommend that you do get feedback ahead of time. And if you have the conversation, I'd love to hear about it, either what went well or what didn't go well. And then for those of you who want to go deeper into this, you can reach out to me on the Start the Conversation Off Right coaching session. So there's my contact info. Again, this is all, let me expand the control panel, will be in the handouts. Awesome. Thank you, Cynthia. Any questions about any of this before we wind up? Let's see. We've got something here. Okay. Here's a long one. Okay. Thank you, Ashley. Okay. Let's see. One thing that I received recently is by... So the person says, what about if the person says it's not that they don't want, like they're not liking your feedback, it's really that you don't want me to answer your questions. You don't really want to hear what I have to say about you. Okay, this is a long way. And actually, how about if you reach out to me and we'll talk offline about that? So, so that's a really, okay, a challenge. That's a challenging one. I definitely get that, because they're experiencing something about your response that says to them that, you're not being receptive. And that's one of the reasons why having a dialogue in these kind of situations is so important, because without digging into why, well, actually, let me just say a little bit. I'll just say a little bit off the top of my head, but again, reach out to me offline, please. A couple of thoughts. So without getting, this is one of the things you need to do. We want to dig in, because without getting any specifics, there's no way we can break through this barrier. So I might say something like this. Boy, I'm really sorry that it feels that way for a couple of reasons. One is, I can imagine from your point of view, it's a real drag. If I was in your situation, I would be really frustrated and angry if I felt like my supervisor didn't want to hear what I had to say. And I'm concerned from my point of view, because it's important for me to get the feedback, and I don't want to be acting in ways that send the message it's not okay to be straight up with me. Can you think of a recent experience or situation with us where you felt like I was, you know, shot down your feedback or was not open to it? And can you remember what I said, or if it was a voice tone or facial expression? So I might dig into that way. And if they say, I don't know, it's just the way you are, you know, so they're really not giving you anything much to work with. Here's a couple things I would coach you to do. One is I would reach out to people that I trust and ask them for feedback about, like, do I come across as angry or defensive when you've tried to give me feedback or you've seen me with other people? So get some feedback that way. I would also do a sort of a moving forward agreement with a person. I might say something like, okay, I get it that you can't put your finger on anything. I really want to address this, and, you know, obviously I need some specifics to work with. So would you be willing to do this? I'm going to pay attention the next time we have this type of a conversation. I'm going to be really conscious of how I ask for your feedback and how I respond. Would you be willing to sort of stop me, throw a penalty flag, as sometimes people say, if you notice either voice tone or facial expression or word choice that makes you think I'm not wanting your feedback? And so those are some suggestions. One of the things that sometimes I do if I'm working with somebody who imagines that another person, oh good, thank you, Ashley, imagines that another person is thinking a certain thing, I sometimes will tell this story, and it's a story I recommend you share when somebody is explaining to themselves this is where another person is coming from based on the nonverbals. And it comes from the world of couples therapy. There's a famous couples therapist named Bill O'Hanlon. And I remember him talking about, he's working with a couple, and the husband said, one of the major sources of our fights is when I go into the kitchen and, let's say his wife is Susie. Susie gives me her get out of my kitchen face. And Bill O'Hanlon's like, wow, what's a get out of my kitchen face? And he goes, you know, she just looks like she wants me out of there. So he's not giving her any input, any specifics. And so Bill asks the wife, Susie, goes, like, do you know what he's talking about? She goes, I have no idea what he's talking about. And so rather than trying to reconstruct, you know, CSI the past, like the past, he says, he moves forward. He says, okay, here's what I want you to do. In the next 2 weeks, I would like you, let's say Joe, the husband, to keep track of how many times Susie gives you the get out of my kitchen face. And Susie, you track how many times you shot him that face, or how you, how many times you felt get out of my kitchen. And so when they come back 2 weeks later, you know, he has, like, say, 12 times that she shot him the look. In his opinion, she had, like, say, 2 times she felt that way. So clearly he was misreading various expressions. So she might have been, I'm really focusing on, you know, making the soup, and that's what her face was that he interpreted as get out of my kitchen. So that sort of story is a great example to get people to be recognizing that we do a lot of mind reading. We tell ourselves we know what's going on in somebody else's mind when, in fact, we don't. So before we close up, any final questions? So we'll do 30 more seconds. And again, as I'm waiting for questions, feel free to reach out. Again, 10 or 15 minutes laser coaching on how to bring it up, or any, if you're like, man, I'm not sure how to address this kind of issue, We will talk about that. So going once, going twice. All right. So I'm hoping you're liking the short version of these webinars. I know for myself, I get really antsy at not giving them, but being a participant. And so I'm experimenting with a shorter version. So hopefully you like that. And actually, I'd appreciate it if you, when I reach out to you, if you just give me some feedback about if you like that. Hey, thanks, Ashley. I really appreciate that. It really means a lot getting feedback, especially with webinars, because you can't see anybody. So you don't know, like, are they liking it or are they falling asleep or what? So yeah, some feedback would be awesome. So thanks, Ashley. All right. Cool. Thanks. It just says Mari. You like it, the short version too. Cool. So thanks for so much, gang. There's going to be a lot more in the works. And I will see you soon. Take care.